Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. It's never the underdog. Yes, sir.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. I'm going to come in and do a little bit of a Baylor preview here since it's our last big game on the non-con. We've seen some stuff over the last week or so against Charlotte and then against Hofstra that I think have us a little more optimistic here. So let's kind of jump right in, fellas. If you haven't been following, we haven't recorded since then. So we did beat Hofstra 89-68. Close first half, kind of blitzed them a little bit in the second half. Shu, I'll go to you first, and then we'll kind of really jump in. What's the biggest adjustment you've seen since coming off those back-to-back losses against Arkansas and Georgia Tech?
I mean, the thing I liked the most was the aggressiveness by Mark when he's being left alone at the three-point line instead of kind of being indecisive and trying to figure out whether he wants to shoot or not. He's just attacking, you know, getting downhill. If they're going to give him a lane to drive, you know, he's got a little bit of creativity around the basket and he can go, you know, left or right. So just, you know, drive right at this guy and attack the space, essentially. And then he was also able to make plays out of that, you know, a time or two here. So it's better than just like kind of regretfully shooting that three-pointer that he's just hasn't been able to make this year so far.
Yeah, I think Mark's the biggest guy to talk about. Well, let's just kind of stick here. Roll from Mark, what did you see that kind of stood out and how he was being used?
Yeah, like Shu mentioned, it was a lot of usage in the short roll there. So he was catching in the middle, going down the middle of the lane, looking to pass a lot more than shoot per se. Like if you were to go back and look at his shots from the Hofstra game, I think a lot of them were attempted putbacks on offensive rebounds. Whereas when he was driving down the lane there, I don't think he took a ton of shots. You know, yeah. I remember multiple kickouts to people like Flip and McCain and stuff that resulted in made three-pointers. So that was really nice to see.
Yeah. And it was kind of fitting that we had just had Brian on to kind of really break this down. He talked about using him kind of like in that dunker spot or having him set those flare screens. We even talked a little bit about using him in this short roll. I really liked that. It was almost kind of like, and we were talking offline, Raul, of it's like listening to your podcast on like 1.5 speed or something, right? Like everything Mark was doing just seemed to be a little bit quicker. He kind of knew like the actions and the reads of what he was looking to do. I think Flip made 4 threes. I want to say Mark had 2 assists on those, both one in that short roll and one was like the cross corner. That really seemed to open it up, and it's a way to get him engaged in the offense and doing things versus being on an island and just being wide open. And when you catch it out there, it's like you're 1 for 17. How confident are you in that shot? I don't know. Did he take a three this game? I want to say he might have took.
I think he took three.
Oh, okay. So he did take three. Yeah, 1 for 17 is tough, but I like that we're at least like trying to figure that out. And I think that's something that Brian talked about that really just didn't, like, I don't think I acknowledged it at the depth that it needed to be in terms of like what Arkansas was doing, what Arizona was doing, like what that does to the coaching staff. And Brian was like, you know, these guys come in, you're 2 or 3 games into the season, and they throw this major wrench into like how you thought you were going to be able to play or what you thought you were going to be able to do. And now it's like, oh, wait a minute, we have to really adjust, because unfortunately, once that happens, now the blueprint's out, right? And like, everyone's just going to guard you that way. So I was really impressed. I mean, I think, you know, I called it a masterclass from John. Maybe that's a little bit strong against Hofstra, but I was really impressed just in terms of, in like 4 days, there was a clear plan in place to say, okay, we have to figure this out. We have to kind of figure out what we're going to do here. And so hopefully we're going to continue to see a little bit more of that. And in terms of other adjustments, this isn't much of an adjustment, but I think we should at least note that Jared's making shots. Yeah. At like a pretty high level now. Again, Charlotte and Hofstra, you know, maybe that leaves a little bit out there, but I thought he was great over this week. If you don't have Flip's massive game and Roach just doing what he does, then Jared might be my MVP over these two games, just in terms of the shooting, what he was able to make in some 2-point shots. I mean, do y'all think it was just a matter of shots going in, or did you see anything differently, like schematically, or like how he was getting into shots? Raul, I'll toss it to you first on this one. Just making shots for Jared, or something in the kind of in the water over there?
I don't know. Certainly the finishing was better. And, you know, that's the big change there, because he's been making his threes all year, and he's been getting open threes for the most part. It's really tough to say whether it was just the level of competition, but Hofstra had a good rim protector in there. So the fact that he was still able to be efficient from two bodes well, I think. But yeah, I'm not sure schematically if there was anything different. I do think you see a trickle-down effect, though, when you're using Mark better and when you're using Flip a little bit differently, too. There weren't as many just like bunch of guys standing around while Flip posts up. That wasn't happening as much. So I think when you get a little bit more ball movement and just overall player movement, you're going to see the results across the board. Like, everybody really shot better these last two games from three specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for me, I think McCain, it was just decisiveness and confidence. Like, he caught the ball, I know, on the corner for a three, but was getting closed out on. So he pump fake, took one hard dribble in, instead of, you know, where he used to maybe try to probe and get a little too far in to the lane into no man's land. Just take that pump fake, take one or two dribbles and pull up from, you know, 12, 14 feet, and he cashed it in each time I saw him, at least in the Hofstra game.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to be kind of like similar to the same shots he's been taking, right? He just hasn't been making any of those pull-up twos. Had some pretty nice finishes, still not really kind of attacking to like to get to the rim a ton. I don't really expect that to ever be like his primary weapon, probably, you know, with the way the shooting is, but it was definitely good to see him get back on track. You know, we talked a little bit about the potential kind of positives for missing a guy like Proctor is maybe we do can kind of figure out the McCain Foster dynamic. Foster is pretty quiet this week, really, in terms of like coming in. You know, y'all think that's more of a function of just kind of getting thrust into the starting lineup, having to adjust to a different role, maybe feeling a little bit more responsibility to kind of get everybody more set up, take more of a secondary or a back seat? Because it's not like he played poorly. I just kind of thought he would get more shots up. Anything you saw from that?
More of a game manager, I guess.
Than
to be like a attack guard, you know, that six man coming off the bench looking to score.
Just getting downhill constantly, right? We didn't see a ton of that.
I mean, you saw in the Hofstra game, the ball didn't stick at all. I mean, we were moving the ball. Everybody was touching it and passing it. If you couldn't make a catch it in a quick drive on your guy or get a shot up, you were looking to pass it. Even when we're rebounding, get it to a guard, he's looking ahead. Like, the pace in that Hofstra game was incredible. And then obviously we shared the ball and shot the ball well, and that, you know, hopefully that carries over.
Yeah, it seems like he's trying to step into Proctor's shoes a little bit. You would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive going forward, but like you said, I thought he played well. I thought he made good decisions, and the shots he took were smart shots. You know, it was a lot of spot up threes and things like that. He did attack the lane a couple times, but that was kind of on closeouts and stuff. So yeah, I did not have a problem at all with the way Foster played. And I think probably it was good for the team in these particular two games.
Yeah.
Because it helped Jared get off, for one thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. you know, I don't want to spend a ton of time going through each guy, but I think it's at least worth kind of touching on just how consistent Jeremy has been, especially over the last 2 weeks. You know, his number shooting 50% from three at this point, and not taking like a ton, but I mean, I think he's took what, 35. So, you know,
he's like three or four a game, right?
Something yeah. Like that. So would like to maybe see that even creep up a little bit more if you're going to shoot it like that.
The other thing to note is just the last four games with him in particular, he's been at like 20 points per game on like 50, 60, 90 splits or something crazy.
Yep. Yep. He'll go through these little bursts where he's just like attacking, getting downhill, hitting a few of those threes. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. He'll have like his own little kind of 8 to 10 point run, like just out of nowhere.
I also think the threes he's taking are better threes than he was taking in previous years. He's taking a lot of spot ups.
Yeah, a lot of,
and he's really set. You know, he's really set when he catches it.
Yeah, I guess we'd be remiss here. We kind of left this to last intentionally a little bit, but how about Flip? You know, flirted with the triple double.
Should have had it.
I did have 7 out of the 10 turnovers, which, you know, a little bit, but a lot of it was you live with him because it wasn't his freshman year turnovers where there wasn't the spin into traffic or just trying to do too much off the bounce. Really the only time, and I think you touched on this rule, the only time the offense really bogged down is when we were just posting Flip. And I don't think it was too much on him because it looked to be a few of those times, like he's catching and he's looking to pass and we're just not moving like well enough, right? It's the movement really happens when we're using guys as screeners and the actions are set to reverse the ball.
Shouts to Blake's had two of the best cuts I've seen this year in that game. Yeah. I think
he played great in both games, I thought.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I mean, hell of a pass by Flip too. When you're talking about where Blake's kind of cuts through the like S curve to the middle there. And he had that one.
And then Blake's had another one where Flip cross courted to, I think it was to Roach, but there was a guy basically guarding Roach and Blake's kind of in the middle, but Blake's realized if I cut here, I'm going to suck him down and then Flip threw it over the top and set Jeremy up for a nice easy three. That was the one that Fran, I think, was like, and right after he hits this, and then he hit it, you know, it was like,
That was I'm glad you mentioned that too. That was such like a nice, perfect commentary right there, because he didn't say it with any kind of like bravado. It was just very nonchalant. Oh yeah. After he makes this, we'll talk about how
Trevor Keel shouldn't have left.
Right? Shout out to Blake's too, right? He's kind of shined a little bit with Parker being out.
Love him.
Especially against Charlotte, it was fantastic.
The energy just comes up so much when he's you know,
he had a great sequence versus Hofstra too, I think. Maybe in the first half where he like dives on the floor and gets a steal or something, and we come down and hit a three and he's just like amping up the crowd.
Last thing I kind of wanted to hit on and then was just jump exclusively into Baylor here. It's kind of maybe worth mentioning the Ryan Young kind of minute drop off here the last week, right? Like Charlotte, he plays 6 minutes. I think he only plays 2 minutes against Hofstra. What do y'all make of that? I don't want to say that like I'm happy to see it because I don't want to give in to just like all the like insane amount of hate that he gets, but I do like it in terms of just matchups, how we're really trying to play, ceiling, floor, all of that good stuff. Y'all take anything away from that? Cause it's not like anyone really took the minutes, you know, we didn't go like really deeper. It just, they didn't go to him. Anything else? I guess shout outs to TJ. He did play almost 10 minutes, but.
No, I mean, I think, you know, last year Ryan gave us a lot on the offensive glass, and that year, this year just hasn't been quite the same for him. So, you know, what is he giving you that he, you know, you're also giving up defensively with him in, I guess is the question, and whether or not we're better off with him in or out. But I think again, it's a, you know, a game by game basis. I wouldn't imagine in this Baylor game, there's probably going to be a lot of minutes for him. I'm sure they're going to be wanting to get up and down and they're physical and athletic. So.
Yeah. Maybe a game where we see Sean Stewart. I don't know. At a certain point here, we're getting very close where I'm just going to kind of probably stop talking about that, right? Because it's at a certain point in the season. I mean, sure, he could break out at any point, but You know, he plays 2 minutes, played six. It seemed like he was starting to kind of build momentum into the rotation, and now it's went the other way. And it looks like maybe TJ could possibly be that guy that really solidifies those sort of 8 to 10 minutes that are just left over. You know, he played nine against Hofstra, but again, if he's out there for 9 minutes, you got to get that kid a shot, right? Like, you got to get him a 3-point shot.
Otherwise, we're just playing zone defense for no reason.
Right. Yeah. You're just, yeah. What are you doing out there, really? He's probably our best shooter just in terms of pure stroke, you know. So we'll see. Baylor's probably going to be a tough matchup for him, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, anything else you want to talk about that stuff before we just jump in? Go ahead, Ro.
No, I just wanted to add to the Ryan Young point. It's interesting and weird to me that he's less effective this year. I wonder if it's partially just due to the defensive coverage or something, but, you know, his field goal percentage is way down. Even his free throw percentage is down, but, you know, his offensive rebounds are down. Like, I'm not really sure what's caused that drop off, but there's a big difference between playing a guy 15 minutes a game who's shooting 68% and right. playing a guy 15 minutes a game who's shooting 53%.
Right. Yeah.
Well, to come back to something, I don't know if you guys remember when we had John on earlier this summer, you know, he said that the roles were going to change on this team and that some of the guys that, you know, had a big role last year might not have that. And obviously we, you know, amongst ourselves thought that was a different person, which we were totally wrong about. And
yeah,
we were wrong about that. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a coincidence in that or not.
Sure. Yeah, have you seen Roach's minutes lately?
Yeah,
37 a game.
40, 40, 40. Yeah. you really can't afford to have, when him and Flip are both off, it's tough out there. It's because they're an offense almost unto themselves at this point. So, you know, we'll see. I think Ryan's a guy that could just randomly kind of pop back in too and just be able to adjust to whenever he's needed. So that part is nice, but
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. So this was a game that we would kind of talked about with Brian, about, you know, that was going to be really tough, that we were hoping to keep it close. And then Michigan State shows up at 4-6 or 4-5 or whatever they were and just beats the doors off of Baylor. I mean, I was texting you guys. This was like 45-15.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Like right out of the gate, just
it was over like 2 minutes in,
yeah, and maybe not even right. Like it was just really impressive for Michigan State to do that. But what do you think it says about Baylor now? Do we think that, you know, I'm kind of a little bit on the camp that's like, okay, maybe we're catching them at a transitional period, to quote Pulp Fiction here, right? I don't want to kill you, I want to help you. Can these guys drop too? I mean, I didn't see any. Obviously, this is the only time I've watched them live, and they looked awful, right? So it's hard to really judge that. I don't think they're going to be that bad. But maybe we get a little bit of Christmas magic. These guys are ready to go home. Maybe we're able to take advantage of that. Shoot, I don't know how much of the Michigan State game you watch, but how kind of high or low are you on Baylor at this point?
I mean, I to completely honest, I thought Baylor was going to curb stomp Michigan State.
Me too.
And, you know, when I saw the score of that, I think I'd just come off the golf course and checked in. And it was like 45-15 or whatever you said it was. After rewatching it, I mean, Michigan State just took it to them. They put them in that pick and roll and basically just put Cisse, who's a freshman, He's got length and he can block shots, but I mean, he's a freshman, and you just put him in some of those situations. They were either, you know, getting lobs to their guy or kicking it out and making threes. So maybe we can copy that same game plan.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that Baylor turned it over 21 times.
Yeah.
So, you know, Baylor's they're so high in offense specifically because they're the best 3-point shooting team in the nation. You know, before this game, they had like 9 guys shooting over 40% from three. Now I think it's down to only 7 guys, but still that's a lot, right? And you got guys with ridiculous percentages, like 67% and stuff. So, you know, that game, I think they went 6 of 19 from three.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a little shooting variance in there, but that could actually be something that carries forward. There's no reason why it couldn't. You know, they're extremely dependent on the 3-point shot offensively, and then they give up a lot of threes too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a one-dimensional offense to me. Now, it's a good dimension when you have that guy, many guys shooting that well, but I think ultimately it was the turnovers and only making 6 threes that kind of did them in on their offensive end. You know, and obviously Michigan State was able to score at the basket at will, like Shu was saying.
Yeah, and they didn't take many threes, but they made like literally every single one that they didn't take. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to really look at it in a you know, a snapshot like that against literally your worst game of the season. But I do think there was a little bit that comes off of that. Now, you could turn it around and say, okay, they're not going to play that poorly again. Sure, they're going to be amped up. They're going to be motivated. But when you lose like that, it also kind of creates some questions that might kind of take a little bit longer than 4 days to solve. We'll see. We'll see. I do like the venue that we're playing in. I do think we're playing pretty well at this point, like in the last week, right? That's not that far. But we're seeing some things schematically, though. So that's where I think my optimism comes from. It's not that we just won these two games. It's that we won them playing the way that we did, which, you know, allows us to maybe hopefully things could look a little bit differently here. I like the call out too on the freshman big guy. When I was watching that, I was like, you know, Flip could eat this kid alive if Flip is like good, engaged, under control. That could dictate the game, right? You can't talk. That part right there, that matchup right there, especially if he starts getting in foul trouble. I think outside of him, they don't really play another big guy a ton, right? Jalen Bridges, they play him at 6'9". Looks like the other big guy doesn't really kind of play a whole lot either. So that gets interesting. On the flip of that, you know, pun intended, maybe, if they're probably going to toss 4 guards out there at us like nonstop, that gets a little bit interesting. But I think we can match that, right? Like, I think Mark can guard a guard. From the 4, I don't think that's going to put us at too much of a disadvantage. If we need to throw Blake's out there at the 4, this is probably a perfect game to just run him out there and see what you get.
They're going to look to get in the paint, get a paint touch first, and kick see out. What they can do, and then kick out.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is, you know, contain that drive first and foremost, whether it be, you know, a guy having to dig down, but he's going to have to at least recover well enough to not give up a wide open shot. Just contest. Get out and contest.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I might consider, this could leave you vulnerable to drives, but I might consider really pressuring the 3-point line just simply because that is their offense. You know, the old school K kind of deny all 3-pointers. You know, again, we've seen the negatives of that, but it might be worth seeing how that goes. And then if they're killing us from 2, you know, it's getting layup after layup, maybe you can adjust. But I almost think if we can win the 3-point battle, we should win the game, even if that means that they get some open layups.
Yeah. I think for me, the one thing that could really bite us is do not foul them on these drives. They are driving to pass, stay home on 3. If you get beat and you give up a layup, you give up a layup. These dudes like to get to the line, right? They love to get there, but you're right. They're not attack. Like, the offense isn't really set up to do. They're looking to space you out and to be able to kick to those corners. You know, I thought Michigan State did a really good job of kind of denying that a little bit and staying home and being okay with their set defense and kind of forcing Baylor to get really uncomfortable. Hopefully we can mimic a little bit of that by throwing a little bit of size out there. We do have a tendency to bite at those ball fakes a lot, you know, and that scares me a little bit. Flip's been a little handsy in those ball screens up top. He's going to get put in a ball screen probably 140 times this game, right? They're just going to ball screen that top to death.
How is their big man offensively? How is he as a roller? He's really
just a lob threat. I mean,
He's gonna crash the glass. He's there. Yeah. He's a monster.
I think he's like fifth in the nation
in the country. Rebound. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I ask is because one thing I didn't love defensively these last couple games is it's kind of been going on all year, but I just noticed it a little bit more is Flip keeps coming out to the level of the screen essentially to hedge. And then what always happens is the big man's rolling and nobody tags him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were fortunate with the teams we were playing because they're kind of on the smaller side. The guard couldn't pass over the top and the big wasn't really a scoring threat. So it didn't really bite us, but
that might be something we want to
clean up.
He can catch it and finish it, but they're not going to run like post up. They're not just going to dump it down into him in the paint and let him go to work.
That would be nice if they wanted to do that.
I'm more worried about the role. That's what they're going to do
the whole time.
Yeah.
That's where Mark has to slide over or something.
Yeah. Point of attack defense is going to have to be big. Especially looking at not singling guys out, but Roach, Foster, McCain, right? None of those guys are known primarily as a ball stopper. That might be the facet where we miss Proctor the most. It's just having a point of attack guy up there to deny some of these drives.
And a big
we're gonna
guard
have to be careful.
Too.
Yeah, we're gonna have to be careful up top. We gotta help Flip on the front, on the top side, right? Like if we just get him constantly having to contest at the rim, really can't afford him to get in foul trouble. Obviously, that goes without saying, but.
That's where I agree with Shu that it might be a game for Blake's to get some quality minutes.
Yeah.
Just because, like you mentioned, none of those guards are like particularly amazing defensively. I would say Roach is the best at this point just because he has all the reps in the system. McCain, it's a weird thing. You know, we talked with Brian about his defense, and it's strange to me. Like, I feel like he stays with his man okay, but maybe it's just lack of strength or lack of size or something. But he gets scored over the top on like very easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Baylor's guards aren't huge, but they're old, you know.
Yeah,
I think Ray J. Dennis, 6'2", Grimes, 6'2". Jacoby Walker's the freshman. I really like him.
He's
a guy that, 6'5", can kind of play the 2-3 there. You know, that would be a good match. Obviously, that'd be great if we had Proctor, but Blake's, at times, if it really starts to where they're spreading us out, like I would almost even try the four guards and Mitchell and just see kind of what happens when you have a big guy that they're not really looking to dump it to. You know, the one thing that really has stayed pretty consistent is maybe you could say he should do it a little bit more, try a little bit harder on that end, but like Mark doesn't really foul.
Yeah.
It just has never really historically fouled. I think his defense can come and go at times, but I think overall I would rate him as a strong defender, especially maybe putting him in, just letting him roam in the back line there and just see if he can kind of disrupt some stuff. We'll see. You know, maybe Sean Stewart gets in there a little bit of an athletic body. I would probably anticipate, though, John playing about 7 guys here, you know, maybe 8. I think it's just going to be kind of one of those games where it's just going to be tight enough to where it's going to be tough. KenPom has it as a right now we're favored 81-80. 3 days ago, that was probably flipped around. I think Baylor was a 3-point favorite. So, we'll see again. Baylor's the 71st defense. A lot of that got trumped against Michigan State. So they're probably not quite that bad.
They were in the 40s before. So a 30.
Still not.
30 rating drop off of one game.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's wild. Looking at their schedule, they beat Auburn first game of the year. So that's a solid win. Outside of that, they got a 4-point win over Florida. That's probably about it. So it's hard to tell kind of how good they really are.
And even the Auburn game, I believe they had to come from behind.
Yeah.
So it's not like this dominant victory and they end up winning by six.
Right. Right. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. So that's going to happen Wednesday. I think, what is it, 7 o'clock tip up in MSG. Yep. So pretty excited about that. Let's do a quick just keys to the game and get out of here, fellas. I'm going to assume Proctor's not going to play. And I kind of hope that he doesn't, unless he's already been practicing this whole week. I haven't really been looking into it a lot, had a lot going on my side. So, and I say that just because I think we've just started to get a little bit of continuity. We've had a week with this group. This is a big game. That's probably not a wrinkle that we want to have to deal with right then. Plus that just the schedule opens up very nicely to let Proctor come back the 30th against Queens, then get ready for Q's. Just get him healthy for the games that really matter here. So let's put him off the board. Quick keys to the game. Raul, I'll go to you here first. You know, you can give me a prediction, but really just Duke wins if what happens.
I think I kind of already gave it away earlier, but for me, it's limiting their three-point attempts because you can't really control what they're going to shoot, but just limiting them so they're not getting up like 30 or something like that. And then us shooting well on the other end, because I believe they're like 250th in three-point attempts allowed or something like that. So they're clearly playing more of a sag defense, you know, as you can tell by them allowing that many threes. So I think the key for me is getting up more threes than them and then us actually hitting our threes.
Yeah. Okay. So a 3-point game, live and die either way here.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much.
Shoot.
I was going to say defensive rebounding, like ending possessions.
Yeah.
We don't want to give away second chance points. And easy baskets. I think if we win the war on the glass, because they don't rebound extremely well, but they do offensive rebound. So limit that. And then, maybe just we haven't been turning the ball over. Keep that trend going, and keep sharing the ball. I like seeing, you know, 19 to 20 assists on 32 made field goals. So
I'm going to kind of like, it's basically the same as y'all, but for me, it's like, I think Duke wins if we limit Flip post-ups to less than 15% of his usage. And I'm not like anti-Flip. Like, I want Flip to have like 30% usage. I just want that part to be very minimalized, mainly because we just haven't learned how to like really like move around him and off of him. But we seem to move really well when like the plays are set up for us to be kind of cutting and running and short rolling and doing all of this stuff. I don't think they can guard us unless we just allow them to just stay at home and camp on their guy and just we'll dump it down to Flip and they got a 7-footer that can kind of just go straight up with him. If that becomes kind of our fallback go-to plan and what we're running most sets, it's going to be tough, you know, unless Flip's just awesome, which he could be. But to me, that's what it is keep this momentum, keep this kind of the pace that we've been playing at, using Mark as a facilitator in the short role, really kind of opening up Jeremy to be able to drive and space. Obviously, it's nice when McCain's hitting the shots that he's been hitting. That would be nice to continue as well. But I just think if we spread them out and really run a good crisp offense, I don't really think they can guard us, at least not well. If we just go to that post up, they can double. We're not going to move. We're not going to relocate well. It's going to just bog it down. So that's what I'm hoping to see.
I do see them probably pressing us some, trying to trap and press, speed us up. So I would like to see us, if that's the case, for us to handle that well.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, fortunately, I don't think that they generate a ton of steals, and we haven't been super turnover prone, so you would think we would handle it well if they do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that you mentioned Mark there as the facilitator. To me, that's another key I was going to mention is, does that hold up?
Yeah.
Can we execute that against a better team?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he can act as a facilitator in the short role like he has been doing, then, you know, that just kind of solves the Mark problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and gives him time to stay involved, stay engaged, and figure out the three-point stuff. Right.
Like, and he can stay on the floor defensively, too, and that's important for us.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, that part's huge. Okay, so I guess we'll wrap up here. I just went through and asked you keys. Is anyone actually taking Baylor to win this game? Do we have any takers on anyone wanting to pull the trigger on Baylor?
I don't feel like it's I feel like it's almost bad luck if we all take Duke to win. So maybe I'll just fall on the sword here.
I mean, they can't lose two in a row, can they?
We did.
I think we started ranked higher than them in the preseason. So
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, I think it's very possible we could lose this game. And it's really hard for me to not pick Duke. And that's, I just can't remove what I saw against Michigan State right. And what I've seen from us. Now, granted, the competition gap there. If you go by the transitive property, I guess we should beat them by about 37.
Yep.
Right. So,
anything is that what you're predicting? It's going to be a disaster.
Yeah. Looking for a nice.
I mean, it's in Madison. There. I do like that it's it's in MSG. I think we'll have a good crowd there. So,
yeah.
I like us, our chance. We know we need this one.
Yeah. We
this
really
is a big resume booster because we really don't have.
Kind of have to have it
a lot right now.
I'm sure they really don't want to drop two in a row, but I think we understand the magnitude of this game too.
And they'll have a lot more opportunities in their conference than we
right.
will.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not a dire as for them as it is for us, maybe.
Yeah. So I'll go on record and predict our first quick reaction post game pod, because in order for that to happen, it has to be a very big game and we have to win.
Right.
We're not been successful at that so far this year. No. So should that happen, we will do a quick little reaction Wednesday night here. So I'll make that as my prediction and we'll get out of here. But, as usual, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us in all the usual places. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on X/Twitter @devilsdenpod247, on the boards at thedevilsden.com. Big game. It's cold outside, but keep those faces strong and the verve high. Go Duke.
CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.